tight formation, split receivers from the 40-yard line, far play action, drops back in the pocket, has time, fires a pass, he's looking in, it is intercepted, Rasheed Mathis has two! Pressure coming, Maddox turns across, it's intercepted, Rasheed Mathis has got it, he's going to the 20, the 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jaguars, they beat the Steelers! Rasheed Mathis 10, 5, pulled out of bounds at about the 2. Wow, his sixth interception of the season in the second of the game. Looking for block, he's got it. Rasheed down the sideline. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Touchdown, Rasheed Mathis. Rodishin sack. Mathis got it back at the 40-yard line on the corner blitz. Intercepted, Rasheed Mathis took it away from Andre Johnson at the 8-yard line. Roethlisberger hit as he throws, and this one's intercepted. It's intercepted by Mathis. He's going back the other way at the 40. Gets the block, 45, 50. He's to the sideline. He's going. He's at the 30, the 20. He makes a move at the 10.
This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and Tony Boselli.
That's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, here we go. Jaguars This Week, Wednesday evening. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli, John Osher, Joe Fortunato here at Jaguars Central inside Everbank Field. You can be with us also. Either listen or join the conversation. The Metro PCS call-in line is open for business, 800-355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. And we start, obviously, where Joe wants us to start, as you can tell with the open. And he's right. It's the mention yesterday by General Manager Dave Caldwell that he had spoken with Rasheen and the Jaguars had made the move to go without offering Rasheen a contract. So, you know, everyone can talk about Rasheen, and we can too, but what does that really say about where this team is mentally, about where they're headed? Because that means now you got both the starting corners from a year ago who are not coming back. I don't think anybody really thinks Darryl Smith is going to be back. And it's a pretty strong signal about their intentions of what they're going to do.
Well, I'm not sure it says as much about that as it is. I agree. Rasheen's going into his 11th year, coming off of an ACL. I don't think anybody would say that, you know, he started four games. He didn't play that well because of his injury situation and his age. You know, I don't know.
But wouldn't you think you'd sign him on a one-year deal because he's a veteran guy when you don't have a lot behind him?
Not when you're trying to rebuild and revamp.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it speaks really a little to that.
You're starting from ground zero.
Yeah, I mean, but that's it. If you're starting from ground zero, then this is a no-brainer move. Even if you're not starting from ground zero, it's probably a move that's time has come.
And I think you look at it, I think Dave's been very clear in Gus and what they're trying to do. They're going to build, and they're going to be patient, and I think – even Shad's commitment and the length of the contract. I mean, this is a process. Now, they're going to put a competitive team out there. I mean, listen, they're not, you know, but they don't want to fill a spot with an 11-year veteran at corner. And I love Rasheen, and what he's meant to this franchise has been amazing. But like John said, coming off the ACL, when maybe you can go find a fifth-round guy, or you have Mike Harris.
Or a younger veteran
that you can bring in.
It's not that complicated.
Right.
I mean, you know, a new regime comes in. They look at a guy who's in his 11th year, is going to be a second year removed from an ACL reconstruction, probably wouldn't have a whole lot of value left in the tank. And it's an easy decision because, you know, the new regime doesn't have the emotional attachment that he's a Jacksonville guy. He's been with the Jaguars his whole time.
Said.
I mean, that's what it is. That's as simple as it gets.
And there are tough ones coming up. This was an easy one.
And what Jeff just said is very interesting, the emotional tie. This is a brand new staff, a brand new GM. Dave Caldwell didn't sign any of these guys, didn't pick any of these guys. Gus Bradley and his staff haven't coached any of these guys outside of Mark Duffner. I mean, this is a clean slate, so there's no emotional tie. And it's two messages. One, it's exciting because you're going to have a young, energetic, fresh start from every aspect, from the general manager down to the players. The other message is, if you're a current player, even if you're under contract, you better perform because you have to reprove yourself. Every person on this team has to reprove themselves and earn their job this coming camp.
And if that message isn't being heard by the players, they haven't been listening to Gus Bradley. I mean, this showed it in a transaction or non-transaction, whatever you call this. But if Gus Bradley has preached anything, it's that it's going to be about competition, and it's not going to matter what you've done before or what your name is or any of that stuff. It's going to be about what you do on the field once OTAs start, really.
And, the one thing I will say, I mean, Rasheen Mathis, in my opinion, the greatest Jaguar defensive back in history.
You could argue the best defensive player
you could
in the history of
most
the Jaguars.
Most interceptions, most takeaways.
Sure. Big play Rasheen Mathis.
Who would
holy cow.
Who would you put ahead as far as what they've done in their tenure as a defensive player for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Who would you put ahead of Rasheen?
I mean, Brackens comes to mind because he has the sack. Well,
the conversation
record.
Would include Darryl.
Darryl Smith,
Stroud, and Henderson, and Brackens.
Yeah. And Donovan Darius. You got to include Donovan in that conversation.
He was
but he's not amongst that elite group.
Right.
And he's right on the fringe of it. But I mean, you're talking about greatest defenders in Jaguars history. I mean,
Rasheen
it's
was
not
a
very
good
big group.
Player for a long
no, it never
time
has been.
On some pretty good defenses for a while.
Yeah.
And I'd say I'm obviously partial to Tony Brackens.
Right.
But over, if you look at consistency, you'd have to put Rasheen ahead of him. Maybe, I mean, the upside and the explosiveness of what Tony Brackens and how he could affect a game, he might be the greatest defender because he could change a game by himself.
Well, the Baltimore game in 99 up there.
Rasheen did.
Well, Rasheen did too. You're right. Mm-hmm. But the exact same way. The reason I go to it is because I can remember the Seattle game here in 96 and the ball game in Pittsburgh in 99 and the game against the Ravens in Baltimore in 99 where he was sack, strip, tip ball, interception, touchdown. He made those things happen.
And
he was the biggest difference maker on defense.
I agree.
In terms of consistency over a long period of time.
It's Rasheen.
You guys saw Rasheen more than I did. I know when I was in Indy, he was a guy they respected an awful lot.
Biggest difference maker, but probably the greatest player, defensive player to come through here, Marcus Stroud and Darryl Smith. And I mean, those two guys consistently played at a high level, but, I mean, you're right. And both all you guys are right. I mean, Tony Brackens, Rasheen Mathis could change the game with one play. That's what made him special.
And here's the interesting thing. You could win the argument with any four of those guys.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, Marcus Stroud went to 3 Pro Bowls. I mean, you don't do that if you're not playing at a really high level.
He was dominant.
Yep. Running sideline to sideline.
Dominant
player.
You
guys saw Rasheen more than I did. He's been a whipping boy for the fans the last couple of years. Unfair.
But that's the nature of the position,
right.
and it has been unfair because, you know, I think Rasheen really took a beating the year that he hurt his knee, mm-hmm. which was, you know, 2 years ago. And that may have been one of his best years out of his last 3 up to that point because he just started playing very solid. But, you know, hey, look, everybody sees when a corner makes a mistake. You know, when a guard makes a mistake, nobody sees it. When a linebacker makes a mistake, for the most part, nobody sees it.
When the defensive linemen make mistakes,
that's why they call it, you know, living on an island. That's why they call Revis Island. You know, that's why we're hearing about all that now because you are on an island in that position.
And not at the same extent, but close. I remember when, as a left tackle, especially in the system we ran when Leon and I were the tackles, the game plan was.
You're on your own.
No help. You're by yourself. And I always used to sit in the locker room getting ready for a game, no matter how good the player I played, thinking I'd watch Tony Brackens and Gary Walker and those guys, and they wouldn't have a care in the world. They weren't worried about anything. Logs and those guys are joking around, relaxed, because they can just go out and play. And not that they want to make mistakes.
We just had to beat you one time.
They had to beat me one time. Me? I'm thinking, if I get beat once out of the next 65 plays, it's a bad day.
Yeah. Well, how many times did we talk about how many sacks you gave up in your whole career? I mean, that shows you how the microscope is.
It is with a corner. You could be so good for 64 plays and you give up one play and you're garbage. But
also
that's
why
the way it is.
Those positions are pretty well
paid. Yeah, listen, I got paid
absolutely.
Well. Listen, and left tackles, if you're a premier left tackle in this league, you get paid a lot of money. But there's many games. I remember games where I would be whipping the guy and I'd have a bad set. Or something, or he made a great move, and there would be a sack or a hit on the quarterback or something. And I got to be honest with you, I'd go home that night, and I'd be happy we won. I'd be a wreck, miserable, and not happy because that one play a lot of times defined.
Right.
And the same with corner.
Right.
Did Mazur ever point that out to you, that bad play?
Did he ever put it out quietly, I think is what you mean. But, hey, Tony, did you see this? Hey, Richard Collier is about to join us on the phone line. After Richard's done, we'll take a break. And when we come back from the break, I want to pose the same question to you in a different light. I mean, I asked you, you know, does this tell you anything about their mindset? I've got a little different angle to it. But let's bring Richard Collier on, who you may have seen in this morning's newspaper. Big Rich is rolling in the Brooks Rehab Challenge this weekend as part of the Gate River Run. And, I, you know, I'm looking over my shoulder right now, Big Rich, and I'm looking at this pin with your number on it, and it seems like forever ago that we all were worried about you when you were in the hospital. And here we are today now talking about you rolling in a wheelchair. Give us a sense of, you know, what brought this along and how the heck are you?
Man, I'm doing great, man. You know, I look at life now, you know, it's greater times ahead, you know. And I love a challenge. I love to challenge myself now, you know, and I can think back to almost 5 years ago when everything went down. And it was, you know, I was just so weak, man, physically, man, and mentally. And I just had to build myself all the way back up. And it's you know, it's gratitude of how, you know, how good God is and how faith can carry you a long way, faith and hard work.
Hey, Rich, from a fellow big man, way to represent the O-line out there. I'll tell you what, your perseverance, your attitude, it is a testament to a great attitude and hard work. And I know we're all proud of you.
Yeah, but, congratulations, Rich.
But as a former offensive line, I love seeing the big guys going to attack. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not making it 13 miles or however long that Gate River Run is. How long do you think it's going to take you to –
He's just doing a mile.
Oh, just a mile of it. Okay, how long?
Yeah.
I was going to say, man.
It's a nine-mile race.
Let's put it this way. I couldn't do a mile right now. How long does it take you to do a mile? How long? What's your goal?
Man, I just want to finish strong. I haven't really, you know, put a time on it all in anything, man. I just want to go out and just have a good performance, man. I've been in the chair for a while now, and I've been – You know, I get out here and going around the neighborhood, and I can, you know, I've been playing wheelchair basketball now, so I'm building up my endurance. Early on years ago, I started, you know, working out, lifting weights, and, you know, I wanted to get strong enough, you know, I'm back up, benching over 400 pounds now, and I just wanted to get my body strong, and now I want to work on my, you know, my endurance and my wind, and just get strong, and just get healthy, man, all the way physically again, so... You know, and Tony, I will say, man, you've always been my favorite offensive lineman, man. I always looked at you, man, as a, you know, somebody who I wanted to emulate on the field, man. And I really appreciate, you know, everything that you've done, man.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm proud of you, man. I tell you what, the adversity that you've overcome and the perseverance, and I know you.
But most importantly, Rich, the attitude.
Yeah, the attitude. And I know
the attitude that you've displayed. Through that ordeal was truly for something to really emulate.
And your faith, and I know you have a strong faith, and I'm just real proud of you, and you're a great example.
Well, I appreciate it, guys, man. You know, you've always, all you guys have always given me kind words, man. And, you know, the great people of Jacksonville have always, you know, encouraged me to keep being strong and keep pushing on, man. And, you know, I just go out. That's the thing I preach now when I go out and speak to these kids, man. You're going to go through adversity, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, it's just how you overcome it, man. You got to have, you know, a positive outlook on it and, you know, good faith, man, and good people around you. You know, to carry you a long way.
Hey, Rich, before we let you go, tell us what you're doing with the Spirit Strong Foundation.
Spirit Strong, man. I'm just going out, man. It was something that I wanted to start, you know, and I was laying in bed one night. I wanted to. Because I always go out and speak, and I never, you know, really had a foundation to back me up. So I just wanted something that emulated me and something that, you know, that speaks about who I am. And I came up with Spirit Strong, man. It's just going out and telling people, man, no matter what, you know, in life, you got to have a strong spirit. You got to have a strong will, man, and a positive outlook, you know, through anything in life, you know, and the strong spirit can carry you a long way.
Hey, Rich, real quick before you let you go, tell everyone if they want you to come out and speak to their organization or to a school or a function, how do they get a hold of you and how do they book you?
Well, you can reach me right now. I don't have a website for Spirit Strong, but I'm working on a website. I'll have it up in about a couple of weeks. You can reach me right now at richbc76@yahoo.com. And you can reach me, you know, a lot of people reach me on Facebook, you know, Richard Collier on Facebook. You can reach me. I go out, I speak at schools, I speak at events, and, you know, anything that I can do to help motivate people and you know, I also do things about gun violence and, you know, bullying, anything that I can go out and help and talk to the youth about, you know, making the right choices and overcoming adversity. I'm all for it.
All right, Big Rich.
It's awesome.
Good luck with the challenge this weekend. We'll look forward to seeing the results of that, and we hope you come see us sometime.
I appreciate it, guys. You guys take care.
All right, that's Big Rich Collier, and we are due for a break, Joe.
All right, BS, are you getting your Jaguars rewards? Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com. You'll get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. Want to join the guys? Real easy to do. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Out of town, put an 800 in front of that. Love to hear from you. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer-A-Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. If you need more info, just call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com.
All right, rolling right along here. We went a little bit long in that last segment. We've got a little more than 2 minutes here. Let's grab Chris, who joins us from the west side. Craig. Craig on the west side. Hello, Craig.
Hey, good evening, fellas. First time I actually listened to this show on the way home. I got kind of bored with the music, so I flipped over to the 106.5. It's good to hear you guys on.
Thanks for joining us.
With the new general manager that we have, I don't know if he has a track record in place of where he tends to lean on his draft picks. But with the combine over and the new GM, and I'll take this off the air, where do you see the Jaguars going in the first round with the second overall pick? Thanks, and have a great night, guys.
Thank you, Craig.
Well, you know, I was going to kind of save this for the next segment, and we'll have plenty more time. Does the fact that they're now going without their two starting corners lead you to believe that they're going to look at defensive back a little heavier in the draft?
No, because, you know, he's already came out and said that he is a draft-for-needs kind of guy. And if you look at this roster, there's a lot of holes to fill.
Yeah, he wouldn't have trouble with that.
No, so, you know, I mean, you could look at corner, you could look at offensive line, you could look at defensive end, that Leo position that's been so over-talked. I mean,
end and tackle make the most sense because of what is strong up high. And then there's the Geno Smith factor. You know, do they fall in love with him before the draft? Those are sort of the areas that make the most sense right now. We'll talk about it after the break, a lot more, but that's what makes the most sense.
And here's a great thing if you're Dave Caldwell and the Jaguars. You know, everyone tries to figure out behind you where you're going to go so they can play on your draft board. Good luck trying to project what the Jaguars are going to pick.
I mean, if you look at mocks, you see about 7 or 8 different guys being mocked, and all of them have some good arguments because there's just – it all sort of depends on Jokel going to KC, which people are still mocking. After that, it's kind of up in the air.
And that Jokel to KC, they just franchised Brandon Albert.
Yeah, I don't think that'll influence that much either way.
Well, he's a Brandon Albert.
A franchise is a 1 year move, though. Unless they sign him to a long term deal, that probably won't really affect
the
war.
No, I agree, but the stats on Albert, he only gave him one sack, mm-hmm. supposedly. I mean, we didn't watch him, but.
Just as a tease, Todd McShay has a brand new mock draft out with a new number one. So we'll talk about that when we return from news at the bottom of the hour, courtesy of our friends over in the newsroom at WOKV. Joe.
Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Want to know more and get better about all things Jaguars? Keep it right here on Jaguars Radio. Thank you, Tiffany Griffith. This portion of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Fanatics.com. Want to talk to the boys? Real easy to do. 355-NFL1, 355-6351.
And you mentioned that's the Metro PCS call-in line?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Good. Glad that you did, Joe. Thanks.
No problem.
Loggemans here. Bocelli, John Osher. You, of course, know the dulcet tones of Joe Fortunato. You know, and I mentioned that there's a new mock draft from Todd McShay, who's one of those guys that's worth following. You know, there's 2 million of them out there, but when
I mean the top three: McShay, Kuiper, and Mayock.
Right.
Whoa, let's back up. Mayock is one.
Yes.
And then like 5 and 6 are Kuiper and McShay.
Yeah, and McShay runs Scouts, Inc., which
they're the best three.
You could debate if they're top. All I can say is that they're the most recognized. Yes, Mayock being the best. The other two are recognized.
And I'm setting McShay up. He runs Scouts, Inc., which is the big service that ESPN uses for all their stuff. But he has Star Lataluli, Lataleli.
Latatui.
Lutui.
I've seen it a couple of different ways. But he's got Star.
Star.
From Utah, going number one overall because of the scheme that they've got going now with Bob Sutton in Kansas City. But
he's a guy that a lot of people had at the top.
At the very beginning.
He left the combine because of a concern over something in his heart.
EKG.
But it was purely a
false
let's
positive.
Check it out. So if he's indeed healthy, then him in the top five is not.
Wasn't it already reported as a false positive on his EKG? Didn't he get checked out and everything's okay?
Well, I read two different things. One, that he went back and saw specialists and everything checked out. But then I also read that they found that a certain part of his heart is only working at a percentage of what a normal heart would work at. So I don't know what the truth is there.
But he was cleared to go work out again.
Okay.
So he's got that one working in his favor. But they have Jokel falling to the Jaguars at number two. And the obvious reason, 50 sacks last year, they need help all over the line. A lot of people have him as the number one overall pick. You've only got another year with Eugene guaranteed.
You have 2 years guaranteed.
Because of the franchise tag is what you're suggesting. So your thoughts on if Jokel is the guy, or, looking at this team, where they're at right now, corner's gone, does the corner from Alabama interest you more? What do you think about this?
Well, I think Jokel is an outstanding tackle. He looked really good on tape. I think the kid from Central Michigan, Fisher, is also a fast riser, more athletic than Jokel. Didn't play at the same competition level, but is a very good player. I think those guys are the top two tackles. I think the kid from Florida State is going to be a first-rounder as well. Kid from Great Britain, his name's slipping my mind right now, but he's an outstanding player.
Kid from Oklahoma is very good too, Lane Johnson.
So,
left tackle.
But Jokel's probably number one right now. And so I don't think – and listen, we're all speculating because Dave Caldwell is not going to tip his hand at all. I just don't get the sense that Jokel is the guy because of what we said before the break. There is a need at every position group. And if you look at the left tackle position where you draft Jokel – to come play, I mean, that is the strength of the offensive line right now with Eugene Monroe.
Yeah, but my argument is that you need a right tackle. And that if you draft a left tackle, much like John Ogden, him at right tackle, and then if you have a future issue with Eugene Monroe with a contract issue, then you have a solution to left tackle again.
Listen, and I know that's what the Ravens did, and it was great, but it was very clear the plan all along was to let Tony Jones go after that season. And now, if that's the plan, and which we don't know,
well, you
then
don't have
yes.
to have a plan for that yet. You might just have two really good tackles.
Yeah, but I don't know if you draft a guy number two to go play right tackle.
Well, it's awfully expensive for that pick to have him go play right tackle. And
financially, it's not.
No, but in a team where you have needs at every position group, it's very expensive. And listen, if they pick Jokel,
If he's the best player, you take him.
Then listen, I'd be fine with it. I mean, I think you are set for the next 10 years at that position.
He's certainly out of the
five
bunch.
Years. No, you're no longer set for 10 years. I mean, when you draft anybody,
he's the safest.
Well, because
pick
of,
out of that,
I guess, because of contract. Well, but I'm just saying, if
well, the much like with Blaine Gabbert, the tender. And the cost of tagging them at the end of that, because they're, I guess a first-round pick is much costlier than what it used to be. So
yeah, but I guess my point is, Jeff, if he's that good after year three, you start working on a long-term deal. And listen, obviously, barring injury or contract issues, you pick that guy and you plan on being
– most likely, if you pick Jokel, you're going to have Eugene for 2 more years. Both of those guys are not going to be on your roster
– long-term.
Right. I mean, they're both – left tackles, and at some point they're going to want to get paid on the open market like left tackles. So you're not going to have that combination playing for you for 4 or 5 years.
And if you're going to do that, then I think you move Eugene to right tackle because all of a sudden you franchise him for
the same amount of money.
That's true, because it's tackle, so it doesn't matter.
And good thought.
And it's, yeah, I quick, that's why I
quick, if it, if it worked the way you were thinking, that's why it's a great thought.
That's why I quickly shut up there because I realized it has nothing to do with it.
Okay, but you started the conversation.
Unless you move him to guard.
Right. You started the conversation with saying, look.
So that offensive line.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought the guard and the center, I thought it was center, guard, tackle.
Oh, you'd be right on that one. We'll see.
But the other thing that doesn't matter, it's also based
right and left
on your it's also not just the position you play, but your average contract. That's why Jake Long's franchise number was so much bigger. And remember, Eugene was also
– That's the situation that I'm talking
right,
about.
Exactly
and that
right.
It's you no longer say I got a guy for 10 years because of what's like what's going on with Jake Long. And if Blaine Gabbert turns out – to be a good quarterback but not a great quarterback, his number that you would have to pay him to keep him after this contract is prohibitive.
Right. Yeah, but if you draft a guy number two and like the
rules have changed a little bit financially recently.
And we're quibbling a little bit, but Jake Long, listen, he would be there for 10 years. They would pay whatever it took if he was playing at a high level. He's not playing at the high level, so it's an easy decision for them to let him go. Mm. He's not.
Well, let's go back because you said
at franchise left tackle. He's,
well, his number
years,
is way right. way much higher than typical.
Let's go back. You started the conversation by saying, "Hey, look, I'd be happy, you know, fine if he's the best player." So if the tackle side of it doesn't interest you because you say you've got Eugene for two more years, what are you looking at? I mean, what are you thinking based on the names that you know belong up here?
Well, I mean, I think you look at it, and John has said this. It's very deep at the defensive end position.
It's so deep that it's muddled.
It is.
Is a problem.
The guy that – and listen, and I say this with the disclaimer –
I disagree with you there.
I sit there I say this with the disclaimer that I have not watched a ton of tape of every defensive player, but the guy who has caught my attention, it is – the upside is off the charts, is Ansa from BYU. He's a project. There is risk. But if you're looking at a guy that is just freakish in his ability and what – he could be, and if he continues on the path that he has after only playing football for a very short time.
Well, let me read what McShay.
I mean, he's special.
Let me read what McShay says so that you can comment on it, because you guys were talking about it during one of the breaks. It says, Ansa lacks experience, but study his tape from the second half of the season, then study his dominant performance at the Senior Bowl game, then look at his freakish combination of workout results at the Combine. I'll take Ansa over most players with a lot more experience in this draft. And his point is what you guys were talking about is incredible upside.
Well,
in
he's
terms
everybody
of Tony Bracken's kind of
everybody compares him to Jason Pierre-Paul.
Well, that's pretty good.
I mean, that's a very similar comparison. Limited experience, you know, measurables that are off the charts. And I'm with Tony. I mean, if you've got a guy who has freakish athletic ability but limited exposure to the game, give me the guy that has more upside every day of the week versus a guy that's you know been solid in 4 years.
And especially in a draft where there is not one or two or three guys that set themselves apart from everybody else. And so you sit there, and if we were all GM, I think we would agree, you are trying to trade out of that position. Well, you can't always trade out.
Right.
And so if you're sitting there, and again, not watching the tape of everybody and seeing everything and being at the interviews with these guys, I mean, Ons is a guy that you just watch. And
Is he a project? I mean, you look at a guy like that and say a project?
I don't know if he's a project.
But
because
we're talking about an indie.
He's dominant. I mean, he is explosive. He has – and when I watch defensive linemen, and especially the end, it's just not their numbers. It's the suddenness with which they play and the explosiveness of the game. In the game. And Ansa is a guy who is sudden, he's explosive, and he does things that no matter how hard you coach, you can't coach because it's just God-given. And he has that.
I would say he's a project in this sense. Most ends coming out are something of a project. It's a very hard position to play as a rookie. There are cases where they do it well. Was Jason Pierre-Paul a project? He was not as good as a rookie as he was in his second year.
Yeah. He didn't get his first sacks until November.
He's probably a project in that sense. On another note, unsurprisingly, I was right. Franchise tag across the board for offensive linemen the same.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to point that out.
I appreciate that. I was
right.
I was mistaken.
Guard, center, they all get the same?
Yeah, all get the same. 9.23, whatever, in
the
same amount.
That's good for the guards and center then, huh?
Yeah.
Except that they rarely get franchise tagged because of that.
Yeah. Good point. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. We've got a whole lot more to talk about here on the program this evening. You know, the draft is obviously driving it, but in, you know, this time next week, free agency will be off and running. In fact, this weekend, The negotiating starts. We'll talk about that with John and Tony and Jeff and you. 355 NFL 1. Joe.
You got it, Brian. Jaguars fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up, sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league. Earn points every time you post something Jaguars, and use your points to win great prizes, including a chance to win tickets to the Jaguars game in London. How's that? Jaguars This Week, presented by NFL, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio.
All right, welcome back. 7-8 minutes left in the program. Just, you know, John, at Jaguars.com, you've got a draft tracker, and just looking at a lot of the names up here, and it's several days old now for some of these guys because they, you know, they haven't got around to their next version of it. But you see everyone from Eric Fisher, the left tackle, to Ziggy Ansah, who Tony was talking about, to the corner. And then so many people say Bjorn Werner. And on mock drafts, Werner's fallen, is he not?
Well, on a lot of them, he isn't. At the combine, I would say he didn't shine as much as some of the other ends. Most mocks, they pick Jokel because that's what everybody's talking about. And then after that, you've got a range of guys. It's easy to look at the Jaguars and say they need a defensive end. And then at the same time, you say, okay, who's the top-rated defensive end on Mayock's list?
Right.
And then most guys plug that in and they go. So I'm not saying that's what they all did, but there is a lot of copycatting among the mocks. You'll see one mock come out, and then you'll see another guy copy that, and then somebody breaks away from that and goes the other way because they want to be different and make it look like they weren't reading another mock.
So who does the Ozone have in his mock 1.0?
I took the BYU kid with the first one, Ziggy Ansah. Yeah. So mainly because at this stage that made as much sense as anybody. And I could have gone five or six different ways.
So you were just throwing it up there on the wall.
It makes sense.
That's yes.
That's one way of putting it. That's not the way I would put it for on the air. But, no, I mean, it's – there are so many guys.
But, you know –
there's six or seven that make sense.
I mean, I say that jokingly, but, I mean, you talk to the people that discuss the draft, and that's what they're saying.
Right.
You can take 10 guys and throw them up there and see where they fall, right, and then put them in order, and that's kind of how it could be. They don't know right now.
If you're saying right now that you know who Caldwell is going to draft –
you're a liar.
Yeah. So
let's go to free agency.
That was as good as choices in.
Rules keep changing. Now they can negotiate before they sign.
They can begin negotiating three days
out. They did that
out
before anyway.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
now they're just making it legal.
On.
Yeah.
And it's still happening before Saturday,
so
which
you're
is really
on the phone right now.
Of course.
Somewhere.
I mean, come on. I mean, some of the players have already made little mistakes on tweets and or Facebook or whatever the social media platform that they're on. I mean, it happens. It's going to happen, no matter if they kind of move the date up or whatever. I mean, the league just needs to face reality, and when the league year begins, let it roll.
Right.
The motivation, by the way, is to create a day next Tuesday where there's less chaos. They essentially want the news cycle and the way that breaks down that day to be less chaotic and to have more happen on Tuesday and Wednesday than what's been happening in recent years.
Here's one team
we'll see if that happens.
I bet you one team that has not talked to any free agents is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think John reported that a lot.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to be that active in free agents.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, they're not doing any pre-calls or...
But you know, what are the Jaguars? Sixth, seventh in terms of overall cap space, and they're saying they're not going to be active. And you look at this list of players, and Pete Prisco's got his up right now. You know, and you're talking about offensive tackle, Andre Smith. You know, Mike Wallace, the receiver from the Steelers, Cliff Averill, who was tagged last year by the Lions, Andy Levitre, the guard from the Bills. I mean, there's some guys at premium positions here, young players. I think it's going to be terribly interesting to watch because there's not a lot of teams with an excess
right
of cap room. So how do these guys get paid?
I disagree with John in that. I believe that they're going to be a participant in free agency. Now, I'm not saying tier one, but I believe this team has to be a participant in free agency just to have a roster.
But they'll fill a couple of needs, but they'll do it very
late.
I mean, it won't be the first couple of weeks.
Well,
I wouldn't think.
It would. I think you to for people to better understand it, it won't be on a typical first week pay. You know, it could happen in the first couple of weeks.
Right.
But the pay scale will not be typically of what you've seen in the first week.
When most fans talk about free agency, they want to see their team.
They
want to
see Mario Williams.
Hey, we're paying X. We're making this guy the highest paid player.
How'd that work for Buffalo?
It ain't going to be like that.
Well, it's worked out here in the past a few times, but not many.
How to work for Buffalo with Mario?
Not very good.
It's a low percentage.
He had a solid year, but not that kind of money.
But they didn't make the playoffs.
Now, anybody who says this is a move of cheapness, it's not that at all. I don't have any question that this time next year when we're looking at this list, there may be a couple of guys that make sense that Dave Caldwell says, you know what, I know what this roster is. I know what it's shaping up to be. Let's go fill a hole with an impact guy. That's not the time yet.
Maybe.
Let's grab a call real quick. Yeah, maybe.
I know it's not the time for that.
Well, I mean, what you'd like to be able to do is to spend a conservative amount and find an impact guy. I mean, who's to say you can't?
Impact guy first couple of days.
Right. But, I mean, there is a way to find guys without breaking the bank that can have an impact.
Well, and the word impact is judged afterwards because an impact guy was Albert Haynesworth with $100 million for the Redskins. That didn't turn out. And you mentioned Mario Williams. I mean, so impact guys may come out of nowhere, right? Who you're
not
anticipating when they're put in the right system.
I mean, in the history of this franchise, I mean, who's probably one of the top free agent guys that didn't break the bank?
That didn't break the bank?
Keenan McCardell.
Yeah.
Oh,
without a doubt.
I mean, so
that was a pricey deal back then, but it wasn't huge.
No, it wasn't huge. I mean, because, you know, Leon Searcy was a huge deal.
That was huge, right.
I mean, so what you're trying.
But it worked out.
Absolutely. You're trying to find the Keenans in free agency.
And
or Clyde Simmons. I mean, Clyde Simmons was relatively inexpensive.
Well, again, Clyde, though, was
yeah,
a waiver wire
guy. The best.
That mistake won't be made again.
Clyde was a waiver wire guy in preseason.
Right, but I mean, still, I mean, it's because it was June 1. You had that right. June
the,
1.
The McCardell's the
garbage
the,
date. You don't have that.
The
anymore.
It wasn't June 1, though.
It was training
camp. Clyde, it was training camp.
Yeah,
it was the
preseason.
Last
preseason.
Right.
But the McCardell one is
get
big.
Get your facts right.
Because
well, still count them the same way.
Because McCardell was a guy who had been around the league. He was like 12th round draft choice of the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
He had spent time with Chicago. He had spent time with Cleveland. And nobody saw anything so special in him when he signed. He was just another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, of course, he didn't start. Yeah, right. I mean, and became one of the, you know, the
names.
Well,
he was going
to
be
franchise.
A starter. He was a guy who they
oh, no,
signed
I know
to be
that.
A starter.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, he was.
But it wasn't like people were jumping up
no.
and down about, who is this McCardell guy? He's
no, he was definitely. There was Eddie Robinson that year and Leon and.
Well, I remember they signed Spellman and Coriott. They,
right,
their,
they tried
their
to go,
offers
right.
were right. So they were out there throwing money guys. All over the place.
Wasn't a splashy signing, but he sure did dress the part.
Oh, my God. We found that out.
Who?
Keenan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
He Black dressed suit. In the brightest colored suit you've ever seen
he
in your
was,
life.
He was something to see.
And that'll do it for our show, folks. Thanks for joining us. Have a great night. Talk to you next week.